right, so for a afternoon system cartridge, we're going to do PCFX. It's a NEC unit. So let's do PC. And it came out, it had a short run. I think it came out after PC Engine, I believe. PCFX. They're CDs in those. CD boot code process. Let's see. Yesterday I did PC Engine. So this is, I think this is one after that. It looks like a mini tower. I had one. You can see the videos. I have a hidden and unknown category that's got some of that in there. So we'll look at the PC Engine. Initialize has a breakdown. So again, these use CDs. I had a bunch of discs, and the PC Engine also has some over 18 discs too. Japan weird things, not sure. All right, so PCFX came out. I'm not sure what it came out. We'll find out in a minute. Powered on. The system has a BIOS. I also had the extra memory for it too. I've since sold it locally, but. So there's a memory. You always want to add any extra memory you can that was out there. So there was, and then there was an expansion port in the bottom that was never used. And then there was another expansion port in the back, but I don't think that was ever used either. We'll ask about that again. The BIOS, it does have a BIOS. The CPU on this is an NEC V810. It has RAM and a CD-ROM and a video audio subsystem. The system CD-ROM to check bootable drives. It looks for specific boot sectors or boot code stored on the CD. If it's not found, the CD contained required the boots. You get a display. The boot code recognition. I believe these are all Japan, so I don't think there's really any region codes because there's just one place that they were. There may have been PAL ones. I'm not real sure. We'll look here. Alright, so PCFX looks for a specific formatted record on a CD. So it looks for, so it can play the CD-ROMs, like a game, not a game, but a music. File systems and executable loading. The PCX uses a custom file system, which is slightly different than the standard ISO 9660 format. The main executable file, using a specific format compatible with the PCFX hardware, is located and loaded into system's memory. So it doesn't read off, the CDs go into memory. So having that extra memory that I had helped the gameplay a little bit better. Actually, much better. After the main executable is loaded into the memory, the CPU begins execution. CD-ROM continues to use the stream data, such as video, audio, and additional game assets as required by application. CD copyright protection, if applicable. Checks for those. For instance, there's a certain specific patterns or data patterns on the CD that it uses. So we've seen a lot of, like, wobble groove is the one that comes up the most. And there's the other ones that have different sections. Every CD has some sort of way it tried to prevent piracy. But again, as I always said, they should just have not have done any of that and just saved the money. Because they're going to do it eventually. If you're dwelling into the PCFX boot repair for modding emulation, there are some mean things to do. So these are debugging and reverse engineering the boot process. Huh, that was just a different one. BIOS dumps. Obtain a clean BIOS dump from the PCFX to understand its initialized code. Emulators. Use PCFX emulators like, oh, there's a Magic Engine FX and Med Inferno to test and debug process. Develop tools. NEC provided tools for developers. So hunting down these original dev tools available can insight into structure. CD analysis tools. ISO Buster can help analyze the file structure and boot sectors of a disk. So when was PCFX out? So when was it out? It came out December 23rd, 1994. It was the successor, as I thought, to the PC Engine. But it had to compete with Sony PlayStation, Sega Saturn, and N64. It lacked 3D graphics. It had no 3D graphics. So it was a short span. It could discontinue in 1998. So 4 years. Game library. Let's see what kind of game library. Only 62 games. Wow. Very, very small. So all the systems that I've been doing, PCFX is by far the smallest amount of games. 62 officially released games. And they were anime style. Again, a lot of them were the over 18. They were dating sims, visual novels, or full motion video. There was one that kind of played like an early Zelda, but it was everything was in Japan, so there was no way I could read. So notable titles, Team Innocent, The Point of No Return. I think I had that one. I had a nice little library that sold with the PCFX. And if you go through my videos, I'll see if I can put some more of those up. You can see me testing the PCFX. It's really cool. Sci-Fi is one of the few action-adventure titles on the system. Chip Chang Kick, a single puzzle game. Der Langer FX, a strategy. Enhanced port of Der Langer 2. Fairland Story FX, a tactical RPG. Battle Heat, these are all the games from there. Battle Gate, a unique full motion video fighting game. Last Imperial Prince, a action RPG. Boundary Gate, I had Daughter of Kingdom. It was a first person, like Doom style. You go one screen at a time, where you turn left, right, only one screen. It was really hard to play. It was terrible. I did have that. It was real expensive though. Kishin Duga Hapanula, 2D beat 'em up. So this had no 3D graphics at all. Princess Maker 2, a life simulator and parent game where players raise a young girl to adulthood. That sounds weird. Fire Woman Matuga, a high school life simulation and dating sim. It's going to show this in a minute. I know it is. PCFX primarily consists of games in the following genre: visual novels or dating sims. Many games were dialogue heavy, included branching storylines and animated inspired characters. Can Can Bunny FX, Nocturnal Illusion. This is really weird. RPGs, tactical and dungeon crawling RPGs were prominent. Again, dungeon crawling is the one screen, like a Doom style. At a time, left, right, forward to the next forward, and you have to look for the next thing. Boundary Gate, and Fairland Story FX. full motion videos. The PV was heavily focused on full motion video. So full motion video we see a lot in Sega CD, also very heavy in full motion video. Battle Heat, Team Innocent, Simulator, Life and Dating Simulators were common. Princess Maker 2, and Welcome to Pie Carrot. Why was the PCFX library so limited? Failure to gain traction, had no 3D graphics hardware, high developer costs. Full motion videos cost a lot of money to make. Collecting PCFX because of small library. Alright, it says how many adult games were made? There's a few of them. I want to see how many it was. So the PC had a reputation of including a significant number of adult-themed or mature-rated games, dating sims, and visual novels. Of the 62 official titles, around 10 or 15 titles fall into the adult-mature category. And this is them. All right, so Can Can Bunny Extra DX, a dating sim with romantic and mildly suggestive themes. Part of the series popular in its risque content. Welcome to Pie Carrot. a romantic simulation game set in a cafe with a light-hearted romantic themes and fan service. Ansang, a beat-em-up, featured a gang of biker girls. While primarily an action game, it featured suggestive dialogue and humor. Dragon Knight Thar. A fantasy RPG themed and fan service. What is fan service? Does that mean, though toned down compared to its earlier entries of the PC? Power Dolls FX, strategy game with strong focus on female mecha pilots. First Kiss Story, a romantic visual novel with a heartful and occasionally mature theme line. And then Rula Ra Rule. So let's go to eBay and we'll see what, check out a couple of these, how much of these are. I'm sure they're under the rare ones too. A quirky with light adult humor and suggestion. Why so many adult themed games, PFA animated visuals, developers who specified in dating games. They were trying to get to older teens and adults. Marketing system within, they were trying to get a niche out of it. Oh. None crossed into explicit. So none were anything. You could do 15 to 17 up. None were actually of explicit adult. There was just the theme of it was kind of there. But it never really crossed over into any sort of weird anime nudity or anything like that from what I'm seeing here. Let's try this one. Dragon Knight 5. Let's see if that one comes up on some PCFX. Now, yesterday I had another buyer cancel an order. I was doing PC Engine. Saw a CD. I was like, oh, cool. I'll get the CD. And within an hour, he canceled the order. He can't. It's two. And I contact the guy. I'm like, what is up with you guys? You're the second one this week that's canceled an order. Oh, I couldn't find it. And I had to send him a message saying, because he didn't leave me any message, nothing. Just all of a sudden, out of the blue, the order got canceled. It was very small. So Dragon Knight 5 is, you can get that on Super NES software. $190, $130. So that's kind of expensive. Yeah, so he canceled it on me. It was just a small little disc, but it was cool. I would have took it. So I sent him a message. I'm like, what's up? What's going on? Why you cancel my order? Oh, I couldn't find it. He didn't even let a buyer know. Second guy this week. But of course he gets full 5 stars. Because I only do full 5-star feedback. Super Fancom is on $66 for the night. Wait, Dragon Knight. Let's see what else we got here. Welcome to Parrot. We'll just cross-reference a couple of these games just for fun. I had a few, but I didn't know what they were about, and everything was so heavily into Japan, you couldn't understand it. Sometimes you get lucky and you get some Japan games. Welcome to Parrot. Oh, Welcome to Parrot 2 is on Sega Saturn, which I actually might have some of those. Just again, just animated cartoon. So Sega Saturn must have some of that too as well. All right, let's see what else we got here. All right, so let's go to. There were 3 ports on the PC, 3 EX ports. EX ports on. Let's just see if there's any rare games out of those rare games. I think they're all rare, really, at this point. But we'll look. Censorship. The rare. So the Chip Chang Kick. Chip Chang Kick. Team Innocent. The Return. The Point of No Return. I might have had that one. That one sounds familiar. Zinco FX. Boundary Gate was expensive. I remember buying that for, not that much. But the Miracle, The Last Revelation. That could have been an expensive one, too. I gave it all away for a song. But I just needed to move some stuff and do some stuff. Fairland Story FX. Pie Carrot. Hayoshi. Can Can Bunny Extra DX. Power Dolls. Last Emperor Prince. Can Cha Cha Tips. So, some of them are in the hundreds. Let's cross reference a couple. I want to look at. I know I've seen some of these. I think I had these. This America Merakula Kuna, The Last Revelation. Let's look at that one. I had a nice library of these games. Yeah, I think I had that one. $100 for that one. Yeah, but I do remember that one. And Baldur's Gate, Daughter of the Kingdom. Right, that's the one I said I had that one too. I use copy and paste, and I can just swap right over from one thing to another. Yep, that's the one I had. It's not as expensive, $45. I thought I remember being more than that. He's got a 250 over here. What was the other one I was looking at? Oh no, Team Innocent. That's the one. Team Innocent. Point of No Return. Survival. One I know was like Zelda, but I have no idea which one it was. Let's see what this one was. Team Innocent. Oh yeah, I definitely had that. $100. Team Innocent. Yeah. Alright, so let's see what else is there. So that's all there. So only 60 games on the PCFX. So let me see. It says there was 3 EX ports for what? There was 3 EX, 3 expansion ports, yeah. So on the back of the console, which we'll break down. So this is what the memory backup was. It's called a PC-FX-BMP backup memory pack. That's the one I had. This port, it's an external backup memory port. This port was used for the external back memory unit, sold separately. While the PCF had internal memory to save it out of the backup, allowed users to store more files, especially with heavy. So there was just more of a storage. Oh, I thought it was a keyboard port to connect an external keyboard. I didn't know that. Primarily used for certain simulation education. NEC released a dedicated keyboard for the PCFX. Oh, there was a keyboard. I didn't know that. The keyboard was used for Power Dolls FX or Studio Kintsuna. This feature strategy element for tools design. A modem port. Intended for the external modem to enable online conductivity. Peripheral and modem was planned for release but was never officially launched. The details. This was forward-thinking feature for 1990s. Imagine being online in 1990. Unused potential. While the 3 ports were innovative and hinted expandability, the battery pack was the only peripheral widely used, that battery pack. Was there a bottom port? I think it was a bottom port. Port in the bottom. Yeah, there was a, I know there was. But it just never, I believe it was never was used. Let's see what it is. So, let's see, unused modem, we did that. Intended purposes. Oh, where is it? The port in the bottom of PCX was the expansion unit connector. NEC included this port to allow the console to connect to additional hardware and upgrades. Like the other expansions of PCX, this port was never widely used, utilized. Intentional purposes was designed for future peripherals and hardware expansions. Speculation it might have been a potential hard drive unit, additional RAM expansion. Oh, see, I thought that expansion I put in there was a RAM expansion, but it's not. It was just storage. A video output upgrade module, comparison to the PC Engine. Including expansion port may have been inspired by the PC Engine with the Super CD or the CD card, Super System card. No actual usage. It was never actually used. Collectors note the bottom port, while unused, isn't interesting to hardware enthusiasts and modders. Yeah, you could probably use it. You could probably make your own little expansion port. As you can do with anything now. Right? So that's pretty cool. Alright, so that's, we did a whole thing on just PCFX. Big fan. Very small library. All CD based. I thought that expansion module that I put in there was a memory upgrade. The PCFX BMP. Which just now I know stands for Backup Memory Pack. So maybe that's why I never played any better. I thought it did. But it didn't. That's why. So, that was expensive. That cost me to find one of those PCFX BMPs. Real expensive. Sometimes they're more than just getting a PCFX. But we've been there, done that. We've had it. And there's videos of it. So if you want to check them out. Alright, so that's my system today. And then tomorrow I'm going to go on to... We're going to do Neo Geo. We'll start with the early Neo Geo CDs, cartridges rather, which I've never had. I never had a Neo Geo with a cartridge. Those are really hard to find and real expensive. But I had Neo Geo CDs, and then I had the Neo Geo X, and I had a Neo Geo Color Pocket. All I don't have anymore, but I had them all at one time. So, that's my system for today. I did some other one-on-ones. I did my Life in a Double Shave today, so... Some more up-close videos, me chatting. So if you want to check them out, that's great. All right, so you guys have a good day, and we'll see you in the morning. All right, bye.